Blog Talk Radio.
It'd be crazy if I just don't sleep tonight, but this deep hole I am in, I'm sure I won't tell if it's night or morning. They say life is just a dream for goodbye, and so I'm trading my nightmares and my money. Something deep inside of me says go
and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner. The morning sun, to ensure what I said, I'll do what's really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come, but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the vision. Cause I'm a winner, green and sleeping.
Radio here tonight. We have Pastor Steve Lee. He's going to bring the sermon in about three more minutes. Brother Michael Smith is not here, and I'll be monitoring. I want to thank those who are here tonight to listen to Pastor Steve Lee. We now turn the mic over to the assistant pastor here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio, Pastor Steve Lee.
Amen. Thank you again, Apostle. Brothers and sisters, if you would, let's just join our hearts in a word of prayer and get into the word for today. Father, I just thank you that we can come to you as your children, making requests, knowing that you hear us. I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives, to cause us to grow into the grace that has appeared unto all men as you now teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. The topic for today is everything points to the cross. Everything points to the cross. From the beginning of time, our pathway has always involved the cross. This is what was in God's heart to cause us to be able to prosper, to be able to win. Yeah, I brought something up a couple of weeks ago in Genesis chapter 2. Verses 4 through 15, and this is really what caused me to see that from the very beginning, there was the symbol of the cross. If you'll just look at that, we'll go back and just review it, starting at verse 4, and it says that this was the beginning, just so that you can get this. It says, these are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens, the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, it says, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And I saw there the first symbol, if you would, if you had two circles, because it says that the river compassed or encircled the whole land. And then the second one says Gihon circled or encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. So you have in your sight two circles. And when you put two circles on the same page together, that represents the symbol for infinity. Okay? So God is wanting you to be supplied with that which is good, and it was gold there. And the bdellium was a sweet, fragrant gum. Okay, and the onyx stone is a precious stone. So I just want you to get that the name Pison meant increase. And you can find that in your concordance under H63376. Okay, and so the name of the river Pison is increase. So God had increase on his mind. He also had abundance, which is what Gihon means. It means abundance and bursting forth. You can find that in your concordance at H1521. All right? So then the next river, or the third river, was Hiddekel, which is that which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth is Euphrates. So by saying that one river went toward the east, just by giving us that delineation, we also can understand that the other river, the fourth one, Euphrates, did not travel in the same direction, which is going to cause an intersection at the two rivers. And when you have an intersection, that is a cross.
On YouTube and being Blog Talk at the same time, so this is just Monday.
So I just want you to kind of to look at that right there in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 15, you will see two symbols. One is the symbol of infinity. The other is the symbol of the cross, okay, because you have an intersection.
I can't hear nothing.
The intersection of those two rivers. And I'll give you those names too. The name Hiddekel means a rapid flow, or that which is soon to come. And then Euphrates means fruitfulness. You can find those in your Strong's in H2313 and H6587. Okay? So that, as you can plainly see, God brought in there from the very beginning the symbol of the cross. Everything points to the cross. Everything points to Jesus. And we need to understand that and function in that. In Colossians 1:19, it says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I would like to submit to you that the pleasure of God to make everything go through Jesus did not just come at the New Testament. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord our God. He does not change. Okay? And that's the reason, according to what he says there, that's the reason we're not consumed. Okay? So then, since God doesn't change, the cross in his heart from the beginning. What does the Jesus being the Word, the author and finisher of our faith, I just want to remind you of some of the things that it says to us in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This was very good when I kind of looked at it today, because everything points to the cross. Everything points to Jesus. You know John chapter 1 pretty good. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. That was just interesting, because God's answer for darkness, according to this scripture, God's answer for darkness is life. And that life is the light of men. Okay, just so that you can see it, read as it says, all things, verse 3, well, verse 2, it says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life. So let's go back and dig it out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All right, I want you to get this, and let's just track it slowly. And this Word, in that Word, God sent us a Word, okay? The life that God sent to us came to us in the form of a Word. When it left heaven, it was a Word. The Word was God. All right? And there was nothing that was made without a Word coming from heaven. And it says that in the Word, in him, just so that you can see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in that Word was life. And that life was illumination for men. The Word that God has sent to you, beloved, is the Word that causes life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word. Why? Because your life is in the Word. Okay, let's just kind of slow down and get into this. It says all things were made by a Word. So then whatever you need, in whatever state you find yourself in, a word was sent to you. That word had life in it, and that word had illumination. Because you can't live, God doesn't want you to live in darkness. Okay? Because he says, in him, verse 4, was life. And that life was illumination, light. And then there was a problem, and it's still here. It says, verse 5, the light shined in darkness. Oh, my God, I just love that. So that tells me that whatever situation that I'm going through, whatever is dark in my life, that light that God spoke, the word that brings life, that is light, that word shines even in a dark place. I mean, come on, y'all. Let's just look at what's here. This is what's in black and white in my Bible. It's the same in your Bible. It says that the life was the light of men. The life was what men should walk in, what they should be illuminated by. This life, and this life shines in darkness. So then I don't have to, okay, I don't even have to look. Do you hear this? Oh, my Lord. Okay. Just to see this. It said that even if it's the darkest as it has ever been in your life, there is still a light that was sent to shine in the darkness. Notice you didn't have to try to find the light. The light was there, and if you would, the light was there trying to find you. Do you see that, beloved? It says, in him, this word, there was life. And that life was what men should walk in. All right? That light shines in darkness. The problem is that we're not looking for light or life. We're looking for generally a way out. Because darkness doesn't comprehend the life. Darkness is looking for something other than what's already there and shining. Oh, please get that. The light is shining, but because of sin, we continue to look for answers that come from a different place or that come in. We look for answers in the darkness rather than to look for life that was already placed in the darkness. Do you please get this, beloved? Okay? We're looking at the thing backwards. It just told us in verse 5 that the light shined in the darkness. Okay, back to the beginning, and this is why I kind of referenced the beginning, because in the beginning it says that the earth was void and without form, and it said that darkness covered the face of the deep. And God spoke into the darkness and said, me be, or let there be, the way we see it in KJV, is let there be light. You can translate that literally, me be. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't tell the darkness to go. He is so powerful, has so much life, that he can cause the light to shine out of. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Okay? I want you to get that. See, we're looking for him to take us away from misunderstanding and confusion. We're looking for him to take us out of the trouble. And he has a whole nother mindset. He wants you to cause the light to shine for you in the trouble and cause you to be one that overcomes. Okay, it would be good, I guess, beloved, it would be good if God just moved us. And we never had to deal with the trouble. But what God wants us to do, according, again, I'm still in Genesis. He said, have dominion. He said, be fruitful. Okay, let's just kind of slow it down. He told his man what to do to continue to enjoy victory. He said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish, have dominion. Notice he did not tell the man to find dominion. He told the man to have it. He told the man, let's say it this way, he told the man to release it. He did not tell the man to find it. He did not tell the man to create it. See, this is why it says in him was life, and that life is what we're supposed to use to function as men. Okay, I'll do that. I hadn't seen that. If you don't use the life and allow the light to flow through you, then you won't grow up. You'll still be a child. He said this life was the life of men, not children. A man handles things differently. A man can learn how to do things with proficiency, not by accident. As a child, we might hit and miss. But as a man, we put away hit and miss thought processes. We do things on purpose, by purpose, because the purpose that's in the light that has been commanded to shine out of the darkness will cause us to win every time. He always causes us a triumph. He gives us the victory. See, these are some of the things that the darkness or the enemy cannot comprehend. He doesn't know how we are sustained. He thinks that he would have us trapped, boxed in, and then out of the situation. That's what he says. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He did not say he delivered them through them all. Come on, y'all. He delivered them out. In other words, just as the whole creation came to be, it exploded out of God. Amen. Amen. It exploded out of God. And the stuff that God has planned for you is supposed to come out of your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Come on, beloved, let's look at this and put it together. Please see pictures and images of this, that whatever is surrounding you, causing you conflict and trouble, you have inside of you dynamite, dunamis, the Bible calls it. And it will explode and remove all of the things the devil has put together and tried to hold you down. God will cause life and light to explode out of your heart and dismantle. Glory to God. See, you have an anointing that abides on the inside of you, and that anointing will explode and cause everything that has been holding you in bondage to be removed, obliterated. The anointing does not bend the yoke. The anointing does not break the yoke. The anointing destroys yoke. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It's the anointing that destroys. A broke yoke might be able to be repaired. But when the anointing that's on the inside of you stirred up and is understood correctly, it's an anointing that you walk in. It's an anointing that you live in. And that life was the light of men. It explodes, destroys yokes. Hallelujah. So we need to just get this into our spirit. We're still thinking that we're going to have to go through. No, you don't have to go through. You have been given the victory. You don't have to go through anymore, beloved. You can remove it. Jesus walked in the earth and did things that had not been done before by man, and men did not know how to comprehend that. But it was not illegal, because he did not do anything illegal. It was all exactly by a word that was given. Jesus said it clearly. I don't do anything that I don't hear my Father say. I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. See, Jesus went by what was said, spoken, and laid out before him. He did not allow stuff that the devil had been locking us down with stop him. I mean, it was so accurate in his thinking and heart that he said, no, you can't take my life from me. I lay it down and I can pick it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See? So Jesus looks, the cross causes us to look at things differently. Everything points to the cross. It's your choice to function on the proper side of the cross. Watch this. Watch this. In Psalms 119, excuse me, in Psalms, yes, 119, 130, it says that the entrance of your word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. So God sends a word into the darkness so that that word gives light to the simple that was in the darkness, to the one that was confused. When we allow that light to produce life, okay, just kind of slow down. I want to make sure you're getting this. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, there is life, and that life is light, and that light shines in darkness. And whatever darkness that you are in does not understand the light. Because you have been trained, beloved, again, to do things from the external as opposed to from the internal. Notice again, he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The darkness can't understand how to stop it, how to contain it, the darkness does not comprehend it. If you can't comprehend a thing, you probably cannot affect it negatively, can you? You don't know what it is doing. You are the one on the side telling the devil, these are your new instructions. These are your new commandments. I'm sorry. They're not even instructions to him. Because whatsoever you bind is bound. Whatsoever you loose is loose. The devil doesn't understand that. He doesn't know how it happened. He just knows that he is now arrested. Because the darkness does not comprehend it. If the darkness could comprehend it, it probably could think of methods and ways to cause it not to work. But God has made the thing in such a way that he cannot do that. He cannot stop you. We stop ourselves. And how do we stop ourselves? We don't keep a hold of the light that's on the inside. We try to make demands from the outside. Lord, change this. Deliver me. No, keep me where I am so that light can shine. And when light shines, men will see good works, things that had not ever happened before. They will see something that they didn't understand. Why? Because the victory on the inside of me is now causing the light that's on the inside to explode. The anointing destroying the yoke. Just because a word was given does not mean that that word was received. When we understand, because it said we are supposed to, according to this, the way he wanted it to go, he said he wanted the light to arise in darkness, because that on the inside is going to teach the stuff on the outside. Oh, beloved, please, did you hear that? The stuff on the inside of you, the stuff God has placed in your heart, will teach your circumstances what to do. If you abandon what God has placed in your heart, the word that he sent to you, then you will not be able to teach bind and loose. You will not be able to teach your circumstances what to do. You will find yourself under circumstances. Beloved, you were not created to be under circumstances. He made you to be the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Yes, sir.
Pastor Steve, we got one technical issue.
Sir.
Wait 1 minute. Hang on. Pastor Mike.
Yes, sir.
I'm pulling out so you can get host.
All right.
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm going to come out so you can get host because you work that host better than me.
All right. I got it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
All right, Pastor Steve. You can continue, Pastor Steve.
All right. We can go again?
Yes, sir. You're good to go.
Thank you. Amen. So I just want you to understand that when we are called to the body of Christ and allow the light of his word to give the entrance, come on, y'all, again, the entrance of his word giveth light. Okay? All right. In other words, God did, even back then, place the stuff in our hand. We didn't know what it was. We didn't use it correctly. And that's the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament primarily was us trying to get God to do something. But everything points to the cross. I want you to have reference of the cross, because when you can see and understand the cross, it changes things. Because after the resurrection, Jesus, now we don't have to ask God to get things done. We have the ability to release things. Otherwise, he would have not trained us and taught us whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we loosed is loosed. He would have still had to tell us whatever you need, God got. And we understand that whatever we need, God got. But when he was, as the last thing that he said to us, is all power, both in heaven and in earth, has been given unto me, therefore you go. He just gave us that power. See, but we have to understand that and begin to walk in what's on the inside of us. You know, when we don't understand, we remain in darkness. When we don't understand, we remain in darkness. And when you are in darkness, darkness does not only cause confusion, it causes death and destruction. This is what God said in Hosea chapter 4. You can turn there. That's just good. I saw that. It's just interesting. Hosea chapter 4. Verse 6 and following, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then he says, because they reject knowledge. So a word sent is not necessarily a word received. A word sent can stand by idly waiting for you to engage that word. And if you do not engage that word, then that word does not prosper in your life. That's why God says things like this in Isaiah 55. He said, my word will not return to me void, but my word has to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. My word will accomplish what I sent it forth to do. So if the word did not prosper on the inside of you, then the word now has been left idle, unused. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, watch what he says, I then will also reject you. You shall be no priest unto me. Notice the relationship that God wanted because of the rejection of knowledge, because of the rejection of truth, because of the rejection of that which is revealed by the Spirit. Because it is rejected, he says, now I have to reject you, seeing that you've forgotten the law of your God. What is the law of your God? This is what he expects and asks you to do. Micah chapter 6, it says, this is the only thing God, what does God require, O man, but to walk humbly with thy God, to live peaceably and walk humbly with your God, live in humility and walk humbly with your God. He said, God requires that, O man, but you didn't do it. Oh, please, come on. He said, walk with him. When he says walk with him, that gives me the understanding that he does not want me to walk contrary to him. That if he said it and I'm going to argue in my mind, I'm going to do away with it in my heart, I'm not walking with him. Please, let's understand this. If I'm walking with him and I don't understand, he has the responsibility and the obligation to teach me. Amen. If I decide that I'm going to walk with him, he knew I didn't know. That's why he's there to teach me, to lead me into the truth. See? Holy Ghost job description, if you would. He's supposed to teach me all things, lead me into the truth. He's supposed to show me things to come. Bring to my remembrance what Jesus has said. Give me the power. See? That's John 14, 26, 15, 26, and 16, 13, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's exactly what it says. That is his job description. So then if he's stated that as a job description, be it known unto you, he is not going to quit on the job. He's going to see it through. He will perfect that which concerns you. He will not allow his word to come back void. But because you rejected knowledge, you've been rejected. And you cannot function in the priesthood or in the relationship that he wants you to be in because you've forgotten the law. And then he said something that was blew me away. I forgot it said this. It said that because of that, you also mess up the next generation. I will also forget your children. Oh, my God. See, everything points to the cross. If I get the cross in my sight and make sure that I'm looking at things correctly, then I will take care of not only me, but my children and my children's children. But because I have rejected knowledge, I just took my children's future and threw it away. I'm going to put them in a place where they're going to have their glory turned into shame. And this is going to happen as they grow up, he says. As they were increased, so shall they sin against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They're going to keep walking down paths that they don't understand. They're going to keep walking in things that cause confusion in their life, rather than allowing the life of the light of the glorious gospel to be revealed to them. Everything points to the cross. The cross represents the place of decision, not just the intersection between what is right and what is wrong, but I would like for you to think of it this way. It is the intersection of what is right and what is left or what remains. Because the thing that I choose and I walk in, that's what's right. But if I don't walk in it, then it yet remains. It's what is left. It's what is frustrating me. Because I would hear a promise, but I don't walk in the promise. I will be a hearer and not a doer. And when I do that, the Bible says, I deceive my own heart. A deceived heart, beloved, is a heart that functions out of confusion. They rejected knowledge. God said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you will say to God, I don't have this. The reason that you don't have this, beloved, is because you have not yet received the strength of it. When you receive the strength of it, he said, you can do the thing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If I don't get the strength from him, if I don't get the understanding from him, if I don't get the learning from him, then I did not get the strength from him. The only thing left now is for me to lean to my own understanding. That's why he said he would never leave you or forsake you, because he wants to teach you. He wants to instruct you. He wants you to utilize wisdom. Why do you think he was made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification? He's made unto you wisdom. Glory to God. See, so just because a word was left does not mean, was given, does not mean it was activated, it was used. So then if I don't understand what's right and I ignore it, and then I have to live off what remains or what's left, then my supply is a little bit short-sighted at best, beloved. The place of decision, the cross represents that. Jesus brings that into focus because he was crucified in the place of the skull, Golgotha, where thinking is done. And I was looking at this, and I thought about it from this aspect. Usually when we look at the cross, we get a picture that spans from left to right, from top to bottom. This image is correct, but that's not the only dimensions that the cross covers. We always know, everybody heard that the way we look at the cross is because there was a thief on the right side and a thief on the left side. So that made our thought process go to the right and to the left. And I understand that. That is correct. But there's also other dimensions that are present at the cross. One of those dimensions would be behind, the other one would be in front. Jesus took care of our past. That's what's behind him. And then he gave us hope and a future. This is at the exact same time, beloved. See, if I only look at my left and my right, on both sides of Jesus was man. Okay? So then if I only look at my left and my right, I'm going to look unto man. But if I look in front of me from the position of behind the cross, my past is behind the cross. So I'm going to look at Jesus, through Jesus, and see my future. See what is in front of me. Good God Almighty. If I look through the cross the right way, if I have the right perspective of the cross, then I will see blessing. I will see empowerment. If I look to the right or to the left, I'm only going to see man. I'm going to see limitations. That's why, again, he said, all power has been given unto me, therefore you. Notice I'm looking through Jesus to get to my destiny. Man, look, God Almighty, please understand that. Man has nothing to do with my destiny. I don't look to the right or to the left. I look in front of me. Man, therefore, cannot stop my destiny because I'm not looking to the left or to the right. I am looking unto Jesus. I'm not looking around Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus. Please hear that, beloved. So if we focus, everything points to the cross. So then if I would focus on the cross, and what Jesus left me, the power of his resurrection. That's the other side of the cross. Okay? I no longer look at my limitations. I no longer look at my failures. I don't look to the right or to the left. I look unto Jesus. Seeing then. I don't see the past. I'm seeing then. We have a high priest that was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Seeing then, that's in front of me. See? So when we look at the other dimensions of the cross, now notice this. I just want you to get this. I don't look to the right but to the left, because on either side of Jesus was man. I have to look in front, okay? Looking unto, through, from that side. I don't look back. I look unto. But the cross also deals from the bottom to the top. Amen. And when I look at the bottom, again, that would be the things that limitations that I remember from the past, because they have been built into the structures of my heart and my mind. That would be looking from the bottom, because I would always look at that which I could not do. When I look at man might think man can hold something back or stop you. But there's a third dimension that you stop yourself, beloved. Those are the foundations, the bottom of your own heart. But the direction that God allows us to look is he wants us to look up. He told us very clearly, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Please hear it. He said, look up, because the same thing that used to hold you back and bind you, he says, I have something that is as close as what you have been bound by before. Your redemption is nigh. But you can't look down and get redemption. You can't look to the right or to the left and get redemption. If you look to the right or to the left, you're going to get confusion. If you look down, you're going to get frustration. But if you look up, you can get redemption. It is nigh thee. Glory to God. Come on now. If you look up, you get redemption. If you look in front of you, you will get destination. If you look to the right or to the left, you'll get confusion. If you look below you, you'll get frustration. But if you look up, you get redemption. If you look forward unto Jesus, you will get destiny. Glory to God. See, he's removed all limitations caused by the dimensions that the earth knows. And he gave us the ability to function from a heavenly perspective, a heavenly power source, a power source that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. This has always been available for you, beloved. Everything points to the cross. Even in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13, he asks some questions. He says, whom shall I teach knowledge? And whom shall I make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. Them that drawn from the breast. He says they're going to have to stop drinking milk. They're going to have to stop looking at the foundations that they function in from times past. And those become the highest place that they can get to. He says, no, we have to stop that. Those that are stop doing the things in the natural. Stop looking to man. Those that are weaned from milk. They're weaned from it. They don't do that anymore. Milk is a foundational supply. Okay, that's good. I just hear it. Milk represents a foundational supply. Inspiration, revelation is the supply that we should live by. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, upon the rock of revelation, I will build my church. See? The foundational supply was milk. Got that. That was in the natural. Now he's asking us to go to the next level. And he says, I will build my church upon revelation. I will build my church upon inspiration. Because the word of God is inspired truth. Good God Almighty. I hope you heard that. The word of God is inspired truth. Truth that is alive. Truth that has yet to come to pass. It's inspired. It is spirit-breathed. In spirit, that's what inspired, the word comes from. He says in verse 10 here, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Wait a minute. I just want you to see the cross. Everything points to the cross. He said, line upon line, precept upon precept. if I do something upon, that's going vertically, isn't it? He said, upon. That means that's a vertical direction. Then he said, here a little and there a little. That would be side to side, wouldn't it? Because if I put something upon that which is on the side, I'm now going upward. But if I put it beside it, here a little, there a little, I'm still moving in the horizontal location. So when I do a horizontal and a vertical, what do I have? I have a cross again. All things point to the cross. And this specifically here, he was talking about, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. Remember, the word was life. The word was life. And the word was shines in darkness, out of darkness. The word is waiting for you to activate it. And now he just told you a secret about how to get this information, how to get this revelation, how to get this inspiration. It is by praying in the Holy Ghost with stammering lips and another tongue. Will I speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. He says, this is what I want you to do. When you get to the place where you don't know, don't stay there, because I've given you the entrance of a word. The entrance of a word will take you to the place of victory. And the word is stirred up in you by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, oh, glory, that's good, sir. The Holy Ghost will take the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart and cause the word to be exposed to that which is shed abroad in your heart. And that will cause you to grow every time. Here a little and there a little. It'll cause you to grow. Why? Because the love of God, which never fails, which is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, now is introduced to the word of God, which is the power, the dunamis, and now your whole heart, out of your heart, will flow the issues of life. Amen. Amen. See, if you don't have and your understanding enlightened, then you will try to live this life from the right to the left or from man to man, thereby throwing away your future, throwing away your hope, which is in front of you, living out of your past, living on the mound that you've created, in repeated frustration, not taking advantage of the elevated position provided by the cross. See, you have been advantaged, my brothers and sisters. You have been favored. You have been graced. Amen. It says that, again, in John chapter 4, and chapter 1, verse 14, that and following, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. That he, the word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, good God Almighty. Come on. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we shall both partake, receive. So that if you've been graced, if you've been advantaged because of the cross, then you need to go and function from that position. Don't function from a foundation that you built when Jesus said, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build your life. I'm going to finish what I started. He that began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. I'm going to finish that work. I'm going to cause you to see that my glory on the inside of you, my light that's on the inside of you, will blow away everything that the enemy has set up. If I can just get you to look up and to look forward, stop looking from side to side. Stop looking from right to left. Stop comparing yourselves among yourselves. The Bible says they that do that, that's not why. But you're going to tell yourself, well, they didn't do it, and they couldn't get. No, that has nothing to do with you and your destiny. Your destiny is set before you, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
He did not say anything about running the race on the side of you. He did not say anything about you continuing the race that's behind you. Instead, he wants you, when you look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith, he wants you to run with patience the race that's set before you. Why? Because all that God has set before you is victory. He has nothing else for you, beloved. He always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. The only thing that God has for his beloved is victory, is overcoming. Not only are you an overcomer, you are more than a conqueror. Glory to God. Through him that loved you. That's why Paul came to the revelation. But he said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul was looking at the cross. The life that I now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, it says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm sorry. He said, I live by the faith. Glory to God. Please hear that, beloved. The life that, just turn there. Just turn there. Galatians chapter 2. That is so good, sir. Thank you, my God. Wow. Wow. I'm starting at verse 20 and going on. He said, for I am crucified with Christ. He's got his mind on the cross. The cross is in front of his thought process. It's in front of his eyes. That's the image that he sees. And he understands that the cross brought him victory. The cross didn't stop him. The cross opened the door. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So, brother and sister, if you don't put the cross in front of you, everything points to the cross. If you don't have your mind set, stayed on him so that he can give you peace, if you're not looking at the work, the finished work of Calvary, the place of the cross, the place of the skull, where you make your decisions and then move from that place. I don't try to move from my past. I don't try to move from left to right, getting strength from somebody else that went through it. I understand testimony. Amen. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the step. I get that. I don't have a problem with that. But a lot of us have been stopped looking around. He doesn't want you looking around. He says looking unto. This is what we have to do. We have to put it in our hearts that everything points to the cross. And since it points to the cross, I'm going to understand what the cross did for me. And Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. If I don't have this on my thought, I'm going to frustrate the advantage, the grace of God. You right there, just flip over a couple of pages in Ephesians, and I'll wrap it up right here. Chapter 1. Glory to God. Starting in verse 1, I might not make it. I'm just trying to get through everything. Study these out, beloved. Study these out. Because when you have your heart and mind set on the cross, everything points to the cross. And from the cross, you always get victory. The Bible says about the cross that the devil didn't know that the cross was what it was. Because if he had known, the Bible says he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He wouldn't have been it. So the cross is what you need to deal with. Cursed is every man that hangs on the tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles. He wants you to see what Jesus did. Watch this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he just put me in there, didn't he? He put whoever is faithful in Christ Jesus. This book is written to those who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. These are not the ones that question. These are the ones that are faithful. He asked the question, can he find a faithful man? That tells me he's looking for a faithful man. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he wants grace, advantage. Come on, look at that, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. Grace is what you don't deserve. He wants advantage to be given to you and peace that the advantage is going to be used by you. He wants you to understand that you've been advantaged and be at peace while the advantage works. From the our God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritually blessings in heavenly places. Thank you, my God. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good will, the good pleasure of his will. See, God's not, he ain't got nothing but victory for you. He said he's doing these things according to the good pleasure of his will. I don't see frustration in there. I don't see condemnation in there. I don't see condemnation. All I see is expectation. I don't see a frustration in there. Futility. I see ability. Expectation and ability. Not condemnation and futility. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. I ain't trying to be. He made me that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us. He came running towards you. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom, my Lord. He didn't just say, I want you to text this, beloved. He didn't just say in worldly wisdom. He did not just say in emotional wisdom. He did not just say in scholastic wisdom. He said in all of them. Glory to God. He abounded towards you in all wisdom. That's what happened when he came and he was born. That's what the angels proclaimed. They said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He was abounding towards you then. In wisdom and all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all in one in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. I want you to know that he made available for you power that works in two places. It works in heaven and it works on earth, if I am in him, in whom also we obtain an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's not working according to your will. He just said he's working how many things? All things after the counsel of his will. This is predestinated. This is after we have obtained. This is after the cross. This is on the side going forward from the cross, that you should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Remember, in the beginning was the word. All of this came because of a word. Beloved, don't throw the word away. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. The word that he sent is the word that you hold on to. So then faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word. I just quoted Hebrews chapter 10, but I went through chapter 10 on to chapter 11, which now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, they are connected, beloved. in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom we have also, after you believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and you will know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and you will know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Beloved, he has given you advantage, and he's given that advantage to you above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. He has raised you up and made you sit together in heavenly places, where? Far above. Glory to God. I'm not just making it up. Just go into chapter 2. You'll see it. That's what he just says to us, so that we will understand that we're the ones that we're programmed to win. We're programmed that way. Watch this up. And it says, verse 4, just so that you can see it. But God, who is rich in mercy, chapter 2, verse 4. For his great love, not just a little bit of love, this is his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us up together by Christ, with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above all principalities, power, and might, dominion, in every name that is named. No, beloved, you should not be one that are disappointed, frustrated, fearful. You should be those that understand that everything points to the cross. And my direction, as I expect victory, is in front of me and an elevated position that he made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I look at things from that perspective. I look at my destiny through those eyes. And then I get to enjoy my God. I get to enjoy my Savior. I get to enjoy my King. I get to enjoy my life. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was nothing that was made, because all things were made by him, and nothing was not made without him. For in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He's shining unto you, illuminating your heart, causes the eyes of your understanding to be focused on the cross, the work of the cross, the finished work of the resurrection, and what he did by his grace. Thank you, Father. Bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to get ready to go ahead and open up lines for commentary. If you have any questions or want to give feedback on tonight's teaching, you can call us here at area code 646-378-1857. All right, area code 845. 845, can you hear me?
Hello. God bless you, brothers. You guys hear me?
Shalom, brother. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
Brother Steve. Yeah, I hear you guys. How do I sound over there? You hear me?
Everything's loud and clear. Yep.
All right. Nice. Well, amen. Amen to that, brothers. Well, Brother Steve, man, the only thing I could say is that it's just a very, very interesting insight into, like, so many things that you said. Just a couple of interesting things that really passed my mind was that you were saying about to not look to the left and to the right and to the left and right of Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, there were men there, and that we would be putting our, I guess, trust in men or not looking to men. Don't look to the left and right. I really found that interesting. And another interesting thing that you were saying about the scripture, everything must be precept upon precept, line upon line, and how
right.
I was envisioning that line upon line as like a X or like a cross,
okay.
Which was kind of, I guess, revelatory. I didn't even think about that, like how everything points to the cross.
Yes.
I knew everything pointed to, like, Jesus, but that was kind of more in depth, and I was like, wow. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Like, it actually was like a cross, and, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Jesus was crucified. I mean, little things that just kind of, like, you know, it's kind of like, it just blows my mind that there's so much depth and detail in God's word that I can't even, like, start to even think that I know anything. Like, there's just so much in there that I haven't even dug out. But one thing that I do know is that everything that God has done and God will do is always a reason and a purpose behind it. And there's so much stuff that I don't even think that Satan himself knows, and that he's probably been just like he's
right,
probably
right.
just been scratching the walls trying to figure out
exactly.
stuff.
Right.
But God is just so awesome, you know. Jesus is just so great that there's just so much hidden mystery inside God's word, and it's just brilliance, you know. It's just
yep.
brilliance. Like, man could never have done this. It is just awesome, and it just goes to show you, just to pretty much testify how awesome and how, you know, mighty and great our God is. And
amen.
I just give him glory, brother. I mean, it's an awesome
yeah.
teaching, brother, and I'm always honored, and I'm always learning, and yeah, it really, really edifies me, brother, being here and, you know, getting taught. It just helps me, brother, matures me, you know? So,
yeah.
I thank you, brother. It was awesome.
Yeah,
I can't say more about it, but it was awesome. I'm always the best, brother. I mean, it's so great, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, glory to God, man.
Amen. All right, thank you again for being there. And, you know, we're trying to just enrich your life by inspiration. And as you are inspired, then you will be able to live off of that inspiration, because the Word of God is what causes the inspiration. It is inspired. So that's just good. We don't have anything else. Here at Live Deliverance, we don't have anything else that we want to do. You know, as John said, he takes no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth.
That's true. Amen to that, brother. That's right.
So, amen.
Welcome.
Again,
following Jesus Christ all the way. Brother, thank you, Brother Steve. And as always, I'm looking forward to next week, brother. So it's always a pleasure.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Love
amen,
you.
Guys. Be blessed, both of you guys. Love you guys much. Shalom.
Shalom. Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God.
Amen. All right, folks. That
Hallelujah.
Does appear to be the end of tonight's broadcast. Please sow a seed here. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here tonight on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Pastor Steve, anything else that you would like to say before closing out? Or
No, that's it. Just let's live it. Let's live it, y'all. Let's just enjoy it and live it. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. If it is the Lord's will, we'll see you again here tomorrow night. Also, like I said, for those of you out there listening, if you do want to call in, area code 646-378-1857. With that being said, shalom, everyone. Have a good night, and God bless.
Amen. Shalom.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefit. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't accept it and lie.